I'ma do my two-step and cowboy boogie.
Grab a sweet thing and grab her booty.
Yeehaw, bitches. It's rodeo season.
Yeehaw.
I don't know if you could tell, but I'm yeed the fuck hawed the fuck up. She's out.
Madison loves, for whatever reason, to dress like a fucking hillbilly.
I'm sorry, but I'm a yeehaw.
She's a yee to the haw.
Granted, my roots are in Dayton dust, okay? Yeah. I'm white trash to
honestly,
my core.
Honestly, same, but...
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, like something... Rodeo season comes around, Madison buys, like, a $700 cowboy hat.
No, I, like, be getting
she'd
possessed.
Be at the boot barn, bro.
No, I'm at boot barn going fucking berserk at the boot barn. I'm, like, I'm the easiest
like, look
mark
at the
ever.
Fucking pants she's wearing right now. They have the American flag on them. Like
they are that bitch. Been that bitch.
That is crazy.
We're not going to talk about how expensive they were. I did stain them multiple times already, and that's none of your fucking business.
No one, literally nobody asked.
I'm such a yeehaw. My boyfriend was like, babe, you're not, like, do you, like, are you a rodeo girl? I'm like,
wait,
yeah.
It's rodeo season.
No, absolutely, yeah.
For two weeks, like, out of the year.
A hat, boots, the pants. Like, I look the fucking part. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. It possesses me. Mm-hmm. It's just a time to be to be something you're not.
There was a day where, like, every single day Madison would be like, want to go to the rodeo? She'd be there by herself.
I'm not going to lie. The rodeo just has, like, a sense of, the girls who get it, get it. It's the Reno rodeo. It's the wildest, richest rodeo in the West.
Okay, we should cheers and then we can rant about this. Cheers to podcast 28.
And the rodeo.
Not actually the rodeo.
I just want to address the elephant in the room.
Oh, God.
My fucking eyebrows. I was assaulted. I was assaulted. And I don't know, a lot of you aren't watching the YouTube pod, and that's fine. Go look at the fucking YouTube pod. I literally look like I'm constantly surprised. I'm all excited about the rodeo.
Oh,
I go get my
excited,
nails.
Girl.
I get my toenails done. I get a new outfit. I'm like, I'm going to get my eyebrows threaded because I don't normally do that. Mm-hmm. I go into this place that I've gone before. I've had a good experience multiple times. She's like, just a cleanup. And I'm like, yes, just a cleanup, please. I'm like, I'm a blonde, but
it's
I have naturally...
just a cleanup.
I have naturally pretty thick eyebrows for a blonde person. Mm-hmm. And normally the girl who does me wasn't there. And so I feel her going like a ham. And I'm like, fuck, that hurts more than usual. Like, you know,
yeah.
When you feel like the thread and it's like...
Yeah, like it's like pulling hair.
And that shit hurted.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's just maybe I haven't been in a while. I have some overgrowth.
Yeah.
She's like, look in the mirror. I stand up and I was like, oh. Like I literally wee gasped.
Oh no.
They are so thin.
Yeah, she's got them Sharpie brows.
I said, and so I'm trying to like do my makeup.
Yeah.
And you can't like put makeup in thin brows because it's just like so dark. It just like takes all of the pigment. My boyfriend walks into the room and he's like, you should stop putting makeup in. I'm freaking the fuck out. I was like, you're not going to propose tonight, are you? Because I'm like, not.
I would hope not for many reasons.
He was like, just let me know when they grow out and like get back to me. Because like, it's that bad. So elephant assessed. Look at them. Make fun of me. It happens to the best of us.
So
okay.
Like, personally, I don't think that they look bad. But I understand that they do look very thin and very shapely.
I know that the thin brow is in, but like, I look surprised as fuck.
You do look a bit surprised all the time. That's okay. This reminds me of when I was living in Santa Barbara. And, you know, I was looking for someone new to do my eyebrows. This was back, like, I don't get my eyebrows done nowadays. I do them myself. I sometimes wish that I would go, but like I was so traumatized by this experience.
Yeah, no, don't. Just don't.
That I just do them myself, and they're pretty thick some days, and you know, they go through phases where like they look good and they don't. But I went to this lady that like someone recommended me when I was living down there, and I was like, oh yeah, she's a wreck, like it's gonna go great. I go in, I sit down, same fucking thing, except like the way that my eyebrows are, like she didn't even follow the natural shape of them, so she like created her own shape, and they looked so weird. They were so thin, Madison.
Just
like more thin. I have to show you a photo. They were more thin than yours. And like my eyebrow hairs grow like weird directions. And so when they were growing back in, it was just like, girl, it was so bad for so long.
I mean, the girlies know, like when you go in to get your hair done, or God forbid you're getting like injections, Botox, lips, whatever the fuck it is. Like there is a fear of, is this bitch about to fuck me up?
Well, you got to do your research.
You're putting your life in their hands. I walked into
your
this
life.
I walked into this random ass place on the street, some lady I've never seen before. She's like, yeah, sit down, honey. I was like,
your life was in her hands.
And I was kind of like sitting there like, something like, wow, doesn't feel right.
Wow, like,
So we're here. And if you make fun of me, you're a bitch. And if you don't, it's because you get it. So.
Yeah, the girlies, I get it. But I personally don't think that they look bad.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So I know this is bad therapy, but let's get into some good therapy for a second. I recently have been going to this gym called F45 in South Reno, family owned, and locally operated. It has been the best experience for me as far as group exercise goes. They have HIIT, they have strength training, they have hybrid, they have cardio, everything that any person would need, any strength level, any fitness level. For me, it has been a game changer. Not only does it provide accountability, but it also provides like the positivity and the strength that you need when you're like not really in the mood to work out.
And to rally around people that are also going through the workout, because sometimes group exercise can be not so fun or intimidating. But once you get into it, especially at a place like F45 where it's so welcoming and everyone's so positive and motivating, it really is so nice to work out with people next to you.
And everybody wants to go, everybody wants to be there. And I have really enjoyed it as a person who has done every type of exercise known to man. This has been one of my new favorites. I'm going multiple times a week. They are currently offering $10 for 10 classes in 10 days. So you can go try every single class they offer. If you tell them that we sent you, they're going to give you $20 off your first month of membership. Tell Sophie we said hi and go get a kick-ass workout in, get a sick pump. I'll be there. Allie will be there. We're going to have a great time.
And to be clear, it has to be the South Reno location of F45. But yeah, if you go in, make sure you mention Bad Therapy Podcast to get your discount, and shout out F45 for hooking everybody up. That's so awesome. And I'm really excited to work out there with you.
It's a badass group of people. It's a badass workout. And we look forward to seeing you guys there. Moving along from getting a sick fucking pump, which is my favorite. A rodeo and a sick pump.
Oh my God, this is Madison's favorite podcast ever.
the happiest bean ever. Yeah. We have got a little Q&A going on tonight. Allie, yes, you want to chat about the Q&A?
We get a lot of DMs from a lot of our viewers and listeners asking us questions because we talk a lot about relationships and lifestyle things and just things in general. And a lot of you guys ask us questions. And sometimes it's a good question or something that we feel like we could address on the actual podcast. So we sent out a forum on our Instagram where you could ask us what questions. We've done a couple Q&As before and we're doing another one tonight, and we got some good questions tonight, so let's get into this.
I'm going to start with the first question. This seems to be a reoccurring and very popular question, and it is Allie single? I swear to fucking God if I get this question. I mean, I'm not kidding. I have guys texting me, would Allie marry me? Do you think you could bring Allie as an offering?
Like, oh yeah, Madison loves to use me as an offering. She's been doing this for years. Like back in the day before Madison had a boyfriend, she would be going to meet up with a man and his friends would be wanting to know if I was going to be there and if I was interested in them. Absolutely, and Madison would go ahead and say, yeah, she is.
Oh, absolutely. She loves him. He's hot.
Interested. And then not tell me, have the audacity to bring me, not tell me that she basically told this man that I was into him and that he had a chance with me. Or
he's like all over her. She's like, I think this guy likes me. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's weird.
I would like come up to Madison and be like, dude, this guy will not leave me the fuck alone.
I sound like a bitch for this, but really I was just trying to expose her to all the different stages of life.
No, she was doing it selfishly, but it is funny. Like I always thought it was funny. I was never offended. But like at the end of the night when she finally told me, when she had a couple drinks in her and she's like, Allie, you're my offering.
Offering. So I've had multiple men ask me, is Allie single? Can you hook me up with Allie? And also the Q&A, is Allie single? So please take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel.
Okay, well, first of all, where are all these men? Because a bitch's phone is dry as hell.
Do you want me to put them in your DMs? Because I can.
No. I feel like if there was anyone good, you would have told me. No, but I am single probably for the rest of my life at the rate that this life is going for me.
Allie's looking for the right partner. She's done fucking around with losers. Let me speak on her behalf, okay? She's done with guys who don't treat her properly. She's got standards. She is that yeehaw bitch.
I am that yeehaw bitch. I think for me, the main thing I look for in a relationship is someone that can communicate and someone that's like thoughtful and considerate. And I'm not trying to shit talk all the men out there, but I feel like, why is that so hard to find? Like,
so
it is genuinely, because I feel like not only does it have to do with like them actually liking me, because yes, obviously if a man likes you, he's going to consider you and care about you. But I also feel like there's part of it that's just a part of who they are. Like you have to be a specific person to be very communicative. Like I could never date Madison, for example. But she's a very thoughtful, caring person.
Bitch.
But I could never date her because I feel like she doesn't communicate in the way that I would need, if that makes sense.
I'm not very emotional.
Yeah.
But also, to contradict you, whore, We fight better than any friend I've ever seen fight.
Well, you communicate well in that sense. I think you're just more of an avoidant. If that, like, you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are. And it's not like I'm like, would say I'm clingy. Like, if I'm with the right person, I don't feel the need to be clingy. But I think I like that closeness, like, in relationships, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual. Like, I like to be close to someone. I like to talk to them throughout the day. I like to know, like, every piece of their mind and their heart and their soul. And I feel like a lot of the men that I meet want their space.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like
it's
I'm like
me. I'm like, give me my space.
No, that sounds like I'm trying to, like, invade their space. Like, that's not the thing. But, like, I think for me, if I wanted to be in a relationship, I would want to be a part of that space. Like, I don't want you to want space for me. Obviously, space in certain scenarios is, like, healthy, and that's fine. And you don't need to talk to me all the fucking time if you can communicate that to me. You know what I mean?
So give me your top three. So you say you had to rank three things that you absolutely had to have in a relationship. What would it be? Three things.
Communication skills.
Okay, communication.
Like, a good communicator.
And this can include looks, money, like, whatever the fuck you want.
See, I'm not, like, the biggest on looks. Like, I feel like for me, it truly is, like, who you are inside, which sounds so fucking stupid. Communication. I don't know. Like, I have a couple big three. Communication, intelligence, and kindness.
Well, isn't she just the sweetest? No, but I swear.
Like, okay, the next three would be funny, witty, you know. I feel like that kind of ties in with intelligence. Like, if you're intelligent and funny.
Okay, but Allie, you can't have it all.
No, I want it all. I want it all. So funny, ambitious, and, like, thoughtful. I don't know. Is that one?
Yeah, thoughtful? Absolutely. Yeah. Someone who's, like, puts you first. Mm-hmm. Consideration. Yeah, considerate.
Like, think of me when they're doing something. Like,
yeah. Well, you're a very emotional person. So for you, someone who is emotionally intelligent and brings that
emotional
aspect,
intelligence is, like, the top. I feel like emotional intelligence kind of ties in with, like, the communication, the thoughtfulness. A few of those things could be tied into that. Like, someone that's aware of their own emotions, how to deal with them, how to communicate them, and then also how to read other people's emotions. Someone that's very, like, in tune with shit.
Yeah, not someone who's, like, socially awkward or, like,
yeah, or, like, self-absorbed.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, or, like, self-absorbed or, like, I don't know, like, too in their own head or obsessed with things that don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm a very deep person and I need someone that gets me on that level and that is that way. And I'm not saying there can't be, like, a variation of that, but it is, I feel like it genuinely is hard to meet people that you can have deep conversations with, like, whether it be friendships, relationship, boys, girls. I feel like that's just something that's hard to come by, which
is so funny. It's like, how did you and me make it so far?
I don't know, because you were always so closed off, but, like, there was more to you. I also wasn't trying to date you. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we would be this far if we were trying to date
in a relationship.
Yeah,
but I think we do well together. Yeah. Like, it all depends on how much you're willing to compromise for another person.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, you can be who you are and see what somebody else needs and be that for them.
Which I think falls under being, like, considerate and thoughtful and kind, you know, and intelligent. Like, I think, like, those things kind of set the groundwork for what I'm looking for, because if you have all of those things, then you're smart enough, caring enough, thoughtful enough to figure it out. You know, like, you don't have to be my perfect man, but if you have these certain qualities,
you can make it work.
You can make it work. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because for me, it's like, in a certain way, I almost need the same things, but it's like in a harder version, like a hard shell, hard chocolate shell version of that.
Yeah. To answer the question, I am single and I wouldn't say I'm looking, because I don't know. I feel like I'm happier when I'm not seeking out a partner, because unless it's, like, the person that's going to be right for me, it just feels like a waste of time.
Let's be for real. You're never going to find the person that you're supposed to be with when you're looking for them. The person that you're supposed to be with is going to hit you out of nowhere when you least expect it.
And I fucking hate that, because it's like, I mean, I get it and I know that that's true, because, like, the best things for me have always come when I'm not expecting it. But I also feel like when I want it, I'm wanting it. So why can't it happen now? Like, I don't want to have to not want, because there's never going to come a day where, like, I don't want it, you know? Maybe I'm not seeking it out, right? But I don't know. I do believe that, and I don't hold much weight to, like, who I'm dating. Like, I really am happy being single. I think the only time I'm not happy being single is when I'm in a relationship that's not working out. And then
it's
I have to
not satisfying.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have to, like, get out of it and then go back to being, now I'm, like, sad and single again, where I was happy and single.
But that's,
you know,
a really good point. It's like, you're better off single than with somebody who's not right for you.
Yeah. For me, because I'm not ever going to talk to someone. I think I'm getting better at kind of, like, with discernment in terms of a relationship with, like, whether or not someone is the right person or suited for me or gives a fuck about me or three is even worth my time. But sometimes it's hard when you know someone or you feel like you know someone and you feel like you have a connection or a bond with somebody to then kind of talk yourself out of wanting to be with them because they're not matching the criteria that you set for yourself, which you 100% should always do. And like, if someone's not meeting the criteria that you set for yourself, they're not the right
one. They're not the right one. You don't have to settle for that.
Yeah, you don't have to
settle. But that's what you do when you're lonely or you're not sure.
Or you genuinely like someone.
Yeah, you like the person.
Just because they have a couple qualities that you're not necessarily seeking doesn't mean you don't still fucking have feelings for them that are real, you know? And like, that's where I get caught up is like, these are real feelings that I feel. And then having to then, because this is what happens when you go through a breakup, all of a sudden you're strangers because you have to be to move on. And that part of it just fucking sucks. Like what I'm sick of letting people in, caring about them, then becoming a part of my life, and then them just disappearing. And us pretending like they're a stranger.
Yeah.
When they're not a stranger. I know exactly what they're doing at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday. I know exactly what they're eating for dinner tomorrow. I know like what their favorite show is, or like if you do something that you would tell them about or that they were a part of, or you want to like run and tell them, like everything just like comes to a halt. And all of a sudden you don't know this person anymore, but you do. You can't talk to them anymore. You can't tell them the little things about your day anymore. Like it just all has to come to a stop. And I think it's less of like the losing the relationship as it is of like losing like a friend, because you do build a friendship in those, even the wrong relationships. Like the reason you're able to tolerate someone in that capacity for such a long time is because you care about them. Yeah. And you're friends with them.
That's absolutely it. Like you go from being someone's everyday best friend. When you're in a relationship, yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah. And even if you're not like in love or in the most love, or you're not being treated like the best, there's still someone that's very close to you.
A part
very
of your everyday
integrated
life.
Integrated into your life.
And then they're nothing.
A friend.
And then all of a sudden,
yeah,
nothing.
Like to me, I think the worst part about the dating life nowadays and going from the talking phase to being single and back and forth is like losing all of these friends that I build, because it's not like just because it ends, like I don't still care about the person and the friendship. It's just like I, for myself, can't be friends with someone that I had feelings for.
Right.
Especially while I'm healing.
And that's another relationship that you don't get to have anymore, even though it's one that you enjoyed.
Yeah, exactly.
So long story short, she's single.
Yeah. So that was a long-winded way to say I'm single. And if there's any
ready to mingle,
any emotionally intelligent men out there that have their shit together and can crack a couple jokes, like, hit me up.
Okay, so next question. This is from one of our viewers.
No shit. Thank you for that intro. Okay.
Next question is, how do you have patience?
I'm going to let Madison take the reins on this one because I struggle so fucking much with patience. I'm the least patient person ever.
She's not wrong. She's very reactive.
Yeah.
But like, she doesn't hold on to that reactivity, which I commend you for, because some people are like reactive till they die. Patience is, this sounds so corny, but patience is a fucking virtue. Like if you want to have patience, you actually have to practice it. Patience comes from empathy. Number one, if you can be empathetic for the situation that somebody else is in, it helps you be a lot more patient with how you're going to react to them. If you can understand that not everybody acts like you, not everybody relates or reacts or responds to every situation the same way that you do, because that's where impatience comes from, is waiting for someone to do what you would have done or what you want to do. You ask a question, you need an answer. You're trying to do something, you want a response.
So I think for me, like, obviously there's different scenarios where patience is, you know, a necessary skill or prominent or being tested. I think immediately to the most recent situation, which has to do with a relationship. So like for me, patience, it depends on the situation. Sometimes I have more patience than others. I do get like, when I'm in an irritable mood, I have like less patience for sure.
I mean, but, of course.
But in terms of like actual situations, like for example, if I'm in a relationship where I'm talking to someone and I ask a question or I need a response to something, I need it like
immediately,
because I'm freaking the fuck out. You know, like mine comes from a place of like, I need this answer to soothe myself.
Because you have anxiety.
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't self-soothe.
Yeah.
I cannot for the life of me. I'm working on it, you know, like sitting with the discomfort of the unknown or of this or of that. But for me, it's like, I get so impatient with wanting to wait or waiting. And I think immediately my brain jumps to like the worst case scenario, because if someone doesn't like answer my question right away, or if I'm waiting on a response,
your brain goes to the worst place.
Yeah, I think, oh, you hate me. which is crazy, but that's like immediately where my brain goes. And in order for me to like come off that ledge, I need the response. And so there have been times in my life, and I've gotten a lot better at this, where I will start freaking the fuck out, like blowing this person up, which doesn't help.
No, because their immediate response to you blowing them up is like their reactive response too. Yeah.
To like back away even more and be like, this crazy bitch, which I totally get it. But I think somewhere in my delusional brain, I'm like, maybe if they understand how much I really need this response right now, they'll feel for me, like have empathy for me and be like, okay. But it comes across just 100% the wrong way.
Well, and that all goes back to the let them theory.
Yeah.
Like, you can't control the way someone's going to respond to you, whether it's in a second or in 10 minutes or in 20 minutes. I totally, like, I'm not going to act like I'm the princess of patience over here. Like, I'm a very aggressive, reactive person myself, but I have learned, especially in my career, that trying to push for a response is not going to get you the response that you want.
It's trying to control the outcome. Like, you, like, for me, it's like whenever I do freak out in those scenarios, it's like because I'm focused on what could happen in the future or like what this no response means. When in reality, it's like just let it be and give it space and time, because whatever happens, happens, and you can't control it anyway. So just let it happen. But somewhere in my mind, I'm like, I want to control the outcome now. And like, obviously, this is, I'm thinking of a very specific example of something that happened recently. So I don't know if this is
it's
getting
recency
like
bias
off
like you have
track right now. But yeah, just like when it's happening, I need it now. Like, I need it right now. But then if I do actually let it sit for a couple hours, I kind of lose that like need to have it. You know what I mean? It's always like very in the moment for me, where it's like the patience thing. Like, if I just give it time and let the patience do its thing, then eventually like that, I think that feeling and that fear, that trigger, or that really intense emotion that I feel kind of subsides after a little while of just letting it ride out. But
well, I think a really good comparison, and this might be kind of crazy for some people, but for people who are like binge eaters, and when you're eating and you want to keep eating and you can't stop fucking eating because your body is telling you, your mind is telling you, you're hungry, you're starving, this is good, endorphins are being released, let's keep eating, your insulin is spiking, you're not hungry anymore, right? Like, you're making yourself sick, but you're not going to stop because your brain is so locked in, so hyper-focused on one thing. But if you step away from food, go on a 15-minute walk, whatever it is to distract yourself, your insulin levels out and you're not hungry anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with reactivity, with patience. If you want that immediate reaction and you're here, you're spiked, you're up here and you're waiting, you want it, you need it, you're going to be in a space and a headspace where you are so emotionally charged that you're not actually going to get the response that you're looking for. And that's why giving things space and time, and that sounds corny because it's like when you're that emotionally charged, you can't do that. But that's why I say be empathetic and put yourself in the other person's position.
Yeah, I think that's huge too, because like the situation that I'm speaking of was a lot of like them saying they needed space and they needed time to think and like this and that. And I was like, I don't fucking like that. Like, I need answers right now. I need to know what you're thinking right now. And they're like, I don't know what I'm thinking right now. That's why I need time to think about it. But then in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, if I give you space and time, then you're never actually going to think about it. You're just going to forget about me and forget that I even exist. Like, and that's a crazy thing to think, because that's just not how it fucking works.
But that's like an emotionally charged feeling, 100%,
right? 100%, but it's so like real. And like, you talk about the binge eating thing. Like, I used to be a huge binge eater.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, I don't have control over those emotions when they're super heightened. Like, I'm a very emotional person and I struggle very much with like finding like reality within like what I'm feeling. Cause like, it is a delusion that I live in, but it's like psychotic, like not like, I don't wanna say I'm like psychotic, but like, it feels like a psychotic break in like those, like
you can't get a grip on it.
Like,
yeah.
I can't control it. And it's like overwhelmingly like consumes every part of me. And the only thing that's ever been able to like stop it is when I'm actually forced. Like, for example, and this is really embarrassing to even say on the podcast, but like, if I'm like blowing up a guy because he's like, we're fighting or he's not talking to me or like something, and I'm trying to get him to respond to me. And like, let me be really clear when I say this, I don't just do this to everybody. It's like a very specific situations. But like, this is like real shit that's happened where I'm like, why the fuck are you not texting me back? Someone I've been talking to for months and months and months. Like, and they don't like voice to me. This is where like communication comes in, that they need space and time and this and that. They just kind of go ghost. And I'm like, oh, hell no. The only time where I kind of come back to ground myself is when I'm literally forced to, because they're not responding. Like, it comes to a point where I'm like, I can't. Like,
you're not getting the response
like
that you need.
I cannot. And so then I have to self-soothe because I've tried
you
for
hours
now.
You have no other choice.
I have no other choice. And like, it is possible. And I think the reason I'm exposing myself in that way right now is because those scenarios have helped me in the future me, like, be able to self-soothe and know that like,
it's possible. possible.
It is possible, right? Whereas like in the past when that would happen, like it didn't feel possible, which was why I would freak out.
But I think that's what everyone needs to realize about patience, is that it's not something that is just so easy. Like some people are like, oh, it's so easy, you just walk away from shit. No, like you have to make a conscious choice to say, hey, I am very emotionally charged right now. I am going to make very reactive decisions. Mm-hmm. So I am going to take, and this is my best advice for anyone who's asking, take a fucking 10-minute walk.
Yeah.
I know it sounds so corny.
Because, like, honestly, for me, like, when I think of it, I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I feel that way. Because, like, if I'm sitting, like, say I have nothing to do and I'm just, like, sitting at home by myself. But, like, what if it's, like, late at night when this is happening? Like, I can't go on a 10-minute walk at night. You know what I mean? Like, you have to find different ways to self-soothe. Like, for me, it's, like, journaling.
Do 100 push-ups. Do a journal. But something to remove yourself from the situation. Yeah. Whatever it may be. Because if you
take your mind off of it for, like, a second. Like, I don't even know if a walk, yeah, honestly, for me would help, because all I'm going to be thinking about the whole time on the walk is like that. Like for me, like that's why music and like playing guitar and things like that were so
something
helpful,
distracting,
because it actually, because I actually have to focus on the chords and the words and the this and the that. And like it actually takes my mind off of the subject. Whereas like for someone like me, I can't even go to, like, people will say go to the gym to distract yourself with going through heartbreak or this or that. That does not help me. It maybe releases some dopamine and you feel better like after you leave or like for like a little bit. The only thing on my mind the whole time I'm at the gym, the whole drive there, the whole workout, the whole drive home, the whole shower afterwards, the whole everything, it's like that is all consuming. That's all I think about. Like I have zero control over my thoughts and I cannot compartmentalize or like shove things to the side.
But
you know?
You have to realize people are not going to give you the answers you need just because you need them.
Yeah.
People are not going to,
which is so rude.
People are not going to satisfy your emotions just because you're emotional.
Yeah.
Everyone else has their own way of living their life.
Yeah.
Whether this is work, friends, relationships, especially relationships, when you're very reactive in a relationship, especially woman to man, because women, I had a psychologist when I was in therapy show me two charts, a man's brain and a woman's brain. The woman's brain is looks like a fucking firework exploded. Okay. I was like, that's rude. That's aggressive and
makes
rude.
Sense, yeah.
The man's brain has like three dots lit up.
Like
I'm like, okay, so he's a fucking idiot then. Yeah. There is no correlation, no similarity, nothing that makes the two genders understand each other.
Yeah.
And so when you're a woman and you're freaking the fuck out, mm-hmm, he's not.
Yeah.
He is.
Which is to me makes me feel as such an empathetic person. And this comes back to like, not everyone feels, you know, lives life and feels and thinks the same way you do. But to me, it's so hard to grasp that, because how are you not living the same experience that I'm living? You know what I mean?
I think it's just important for people to remember that when you say things and when you do things, even if you're very emotionally charged by them, you cannot take them back.
Yes, but I'm not saying like, I'm not like emotionally charged and like volatile and like reactive in every situation. It's more so when something triggers like some traumas or like abandonment wounds within me. Like
right.
If someone's not, like for me specifically, what I've noticed is what really like where I really struggle to have patience is there's like an issue, or if someone's not responding, not just like not responding on like a random Tuesday, like I know they're gonna talk to me later, like that's fine, we could go all day without talking, I'm not gonna freak the fuck out.
But when something is going on,
when something's going on and I know that they're,
you
like
need a resolution.
I need like a resolution or an answer, or like whether it's go fuck yourself or
we're cool,
like I need one or the other. And the unknown and like that middle ground, that gray area, like will literally drive me fucking up the wall. And that's where I'm getting off topic, like this is just what the patience thing reminded me of, because I remember thinking like, God, I just need to have some fucking patience with this situation, because that's all they're asking for is some time. But like I don't want time, because I need to know what the fuck is going on, you know what I mean? Like I need to know what's going on in your head, whether it's fuck you, fuck this, or we're cool type of shit.
Well, and that's where it comes down to taking accountability for your own feelings, mm-hmm, and compartmentalizing, which obviously
I can't do it. Like if there's a trick, if anyone has a fucking trick for that, like
for compartmentalizing,
like I can't do it.
I would just say for compartmentalization, obviously it's a lot easier said than done.
See,
but like
you're talking to a bitch who can multitask like 100 things at once. Like I can literally do 8 things at one time successfully. So I think that that's where like my brain, the way that my brain works, like I can successfully be fully editing a video, thinking about something and thinking about something else and thinking about something else all at once. I could be watching a TV show, reading a book, listening to a podcast and still thinking about my breakup all in the same
setting. And I think for me, the thing that did it was being in such a toxic relationship that I never had space space to not compartmentalize. If I did not compartmentalize, I wouldn't have made it through. He never gave me time or space to heal or to feel or to do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, he would push me away, block me, shut me out to a point where, like, I had to sit with it. And I'm not saying that it's a good thing to compartmentalize and not feel your feelings, but I am saying that if you want to...
No, it's a skill for sure. I think there's a difference between suppressing your emotions and compartmentalizing when it's time to compartmentalize. Like, I just don't think I'm built like that. And, like, that's what I'm trying to, like, explain. Maybe there's certain outlets that I could do to better work through that when I'm having those struggles. But, like, I'm telling you right now, I'm never going to be the girl that can go to the gym to forget about
something. To feel better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like you've also learned you cannot make someone give you the answers that you need. Mm-hmm. You cannot force someone to make you feel better in those times, because a lot of the time they're going to shut you out. They're going to ignore you. And what you have to do in those situations is just, you have to learn to self-soothe, because you don't have any other option.
There's that side of being patient, which that's probably super niche. I don't know if other people like relate to that. But then there's like the other part of patience, which kind of ties into the next question that we had, which was like, how do you deal with confrontation within your friendships? And I think one thing that Madison and I actually can really commend ourselves for within our friendship is the way that we deal with confrontation and disagreements. And I will be the first one to say, and we've talked about this before on a different podcast, where Madison is very patient with me because I'm very reactive. She's very empathetic and understanding. And it's taken me a few years. I think I've gotten to a point now where, like, I'm also a lot less reactive and I'm more patient with her as well. We're just really good at communicating how we're feeling. Like, there's never any need to argue or fight or be mad. It's not like we're gonna get in petty arguments where we're like mad and the other person doesn't know. Like, it's very at face value. Like, yeah, what you see is what you get.
We're not gonna be passive aggressive.
Yeah, like if one of us catches a toad, the other one's like, what the fuck is your problem?
Can I assist you with something,
like,
bitch?
It's very
would you
much,
like a bus?
It's very much addressed right then and there. And like, obviously I know Madison and I are a very unique situation, because I'm not saying like if you have something to confront your friend about, like, you should just address it like right in that given moment, because people are different. It depends on the situation, depends on the friendship, the level of closeness, this and that. But my opinion on this is, like, if you can't have confrontation with your friend, if you can't talk to them about something that's bothering you, if you can't address something that they've done that you think is wrong, if you can't have an honest, open conversation with them, then
they're not your friend.
They're not your friend. Maybe they're not someone that you should be friends with. And that also, you know, there's two sides to this. Like, how are you approaching it? Like, don't...
Like, are you being aggressive? Right. Are you being crazy? Are you coming on super strong?
Right.
Because everyone has different levels of confrontation and what they can handle with confrontation.
Right.
And I think that's why Allie and I have been able to be such good friends for so long, is that we have similar levels of what we can accept for confrontation, but we also have similar levels of resolution.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to let something sit between us. There's no chance ever that if you are really genuinely friends with someone, you trust someone, you love someone, you care about someone, you're going to let drama sit in between you and fuck up your friendship.
Yeah, like, you're not going to talk about it. You're just going to let it sit there and fester. I've definitely had friendships who I'm not friends with anymore for obvious reasons. Like, you have something that you don't like, they have something that they don't like about you. It's never discussed because maybe there is no coming to a resolution to it. And like, maybe you both know that, and it eventually the friendship will end. And I feel like it depends on how old you are, right? Like, we're both at an age where I feel like it's, you know, 25, 26. I'm almost 26. She's almost 27. Your late 20s are kind of where you start to dial down who are your real friends and...
Like, who's your circle?
Who do you have? Yeah, like, you're not going to just keep around just anybody. I feel like in your early 20s and like your late teen years, you keep friends in your life just because they're like around and everyone's friends with them. But you get to have a choice when you get a little bit older about who you want to have friends with. And I feel like you do that because you're sick and tired of the bullshit.
Well, you don't want to deal with people who aren't like... don't respect you. I feel like something Allie and I have done a really good job of through our 15 years of friendship is calling each other out respectfully.
Yes.
Right? Like, you don't be a cunt to your friend. You don't talk shit about your friend.
Because, like, straight up, if Madison were, like, a cunt to me, like, actually a cunt, like, sometimes she's a little bit of a twat. But, like, we can laugh about it. And, like, I know she's coming from a good place. And, like, if she ever is, like I said, if we catch a toad, we squash it really quickly because it's never, like, anything that deep. And we know that about each other. But, like, before we had that type of rapport with each other where we just could trust that the other person wasn't being a conniving little twat
right.
on purpose. It was just like they're having a moment. It took a lot of like respectful communication. If your friend is like screaming at you or coming at you fucking sideways, like that is not your friend.
Or talking shit about you.
Behind your
or
back.
Or talking like, to your fucking crazy. Man or going out and not inviting you. Like I hear a lot of things about like a lot of friendships. I'm like, that girl is not your friend.
Right.
Your friend would never treat you in a way that would make you feel unwanted, disrespected, gaslighted, lied right. to. Let's not lie. We have been friends for a very long time. We have had arguments. We've had disagreements. We have not always loved what the other person is doing, mm-hmm. but we have never not for 1 minute respected each other, loved yeah. each other, communicated, and always put our relationship first.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes to, if you have something you need to say to a friend and you feel like you're uncomfortable with it and you don't want to start a riff, you're not really comfortable with confrontation, the only thing you're going to do by burying that shit is make your relationship uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's going to fester and it's going to build over time. And then someday something really small is going to happen that's going to trigger it and like all hell is going to break loose. And I've had this happen with friendships that thinking of the person that they were looking back, I don't know if these conversations were things that ever could have been had in a productive way. Like they were a very selfish or defensive type of person who maybe wasn't good at taking accountability, like that type of a person. And I think maybe that's why things were never brought up. But at the same time, who knows? We never actually tried to talk about these things because I think we weren't friends on that level. Like we weren't meant to be in each other's lives. But along the years of being friends with this person, I remember something really small just setting us off one day, and we have not spoken since. And like, it doesn't need to end like that. And I feel like looking back, there could have been a lot of conversations that probably should have been had about certain things. And like, maybe we were too young, which is why I think age has a lot to do with it. Like we were too young to fully, you know, take accountability for our own actions, at the same time, respectfully state how we were feeling about the other person's actions. There's a million ways that you can go about confronting a friend. I think if you're really good friends with this person and they really care about you, then you shouldn't be worried about what you have to say or how you're gonna say it. You should be able to have that open rapport with them. But if it is someone that you're not quite sure of, I think go about it in the most respectful way possible, keeping the friendship in mind, keeping that person in mind, keeping your feelings in mind, but also being honest and like true to yourself, you know, like don't beat around the bush, but you don't have to be rude or bring the person down.
Right. Like if you feel like you have to be aggressive or mean or hurtful, something has gone really wrong.
Or like say you're not even, that's not what your intentions are, but like that's how it's coming across. Maybe you need to work on like how you present it, because I know that I have a very like my tone of voice sometimes, like my mom used to always say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And there's something that I've noticed about myself, and even Madison sometimes, she's like, why are you being such a twat? And I'm like genuinely from the bottom of my heart not trying to be a twat. I think it's just the tone of my voice sometimes sounds a little bit bitchy. Like it's just, it was built into my bones. Like I'm not trying to be a bitch. I think I just sound bitchy sometimes. And so I have to really work on how I say things and like my tone of voice and like my inflection and like, you know, things like that, which seems silly because like I'm not trying to be rude, but it comes across that way because I'm not just a naturally like happy-go-lucky girl all the time. Like sometimes I'm very much monotone and just like myself. Not, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like a lot of people who've been friends for a really long time, you get very comfortable mm-hmm. with people and you don't realize when maybe you have crossed a line yeah. or confrontation is there. And that's what it really comes down to, is communication and empathy.
Yeah.
You have to communicate with the people you love. You have to be empathetic with how they feel.
Yeah.
Because there's been many a times when you and I have gotten in little irrelevant bickering arguments where like, of course you get upset. You're yeah. a human being. You have emotions. I'm not telling you to not like have a reaction. I'm just saying to be very empathetic with your reaction and to choose a level of confrontation that you're willing to have with that person. Yeah. Because not everything needs to be a blow up fight.
Yeah.
And so needs to be a conversation.
Yeah. And I feel like too, one more thing about Madison and I's relationship, for what, like if it helps anyone to hear how we've done it. When we do get in, like say we're like drunk at a bar and like we get in like a stupid little fight about something, like within 10 minutes we're apologizing to each other because we genuinely don't like not being friends and close and happy-go-lucky with each other, because that's our friendship. And like nothing stupid and small and petty, or even if she was a bitch, like nothing is gonna come between that.
There's nothing that's worth us not being okay
yeah
over.
And like us fighting for the rest of the night over and having to discuss it the next day, it's like let's just get over it now so we can just continue to have fun. So like if there is something that has happened in a friendship that is worth being mad over or worth maybe questioning, I'm not gonna say don't be friends with that person, but I'm just gonna say, like, again, same thing we say about relationships, like don't settle for who you choose to be friends with
just because they're already in your life.
Yeah, like I know it's really hard to cut out friends. I feel like sometimes friendship breakups can be even more difficult than like actual romantic breakups, and it's not talked about enough. And like I will say I'm really, really fucking lucky, because if everyone else in my life decided to hate me tomorrow, like I know Madison never would. And like that's like all I need sometimes, is what I feel like, because it's all I had for like a couple years. So like I've gotten comfortable with that. I'm like, I'm not the type of person that needs a lot of people around, and I'm blessed to have lots of friends and lots of people that are like really genuinely good people. But I feel like because my best friend is someone that's such a good person, like she attracts people that are good good people as well. And like, same with myself. I feel like we just know what we want and what we look for in people, and we're not just going to hang out with people just to fill a void. And like, I know it's lonely sometimes if you don't have lots of friends, or like if you don't have that best friend. Like, I went through that before I met Madison, or before me and Madison even knew we were like best friends. Like, I went through that for sure, feeling like looking at all these groups of girls who had like big girl groups of friends, and like they're always with each
10,
other
15 girls.
And I'm like, God, yeah. What is wrong with me? Like, why don't I have
friends?
Why don't I have friends when I did have friends, but no one that like seemed that close? I'll say to you right now, social media is not everything that it appears. Like, 9 times out of 10, those big group of girls that
they don't like
out,
each other.
They don't like each other. They talk shit about each other. It's all drama. You run into them at a bar and they're immediately talking shit about their friend that they were with last weekend. Like, my point to this is, take your time. Be alone if you have to. Like, I know it's sad and it's scary, but like, you working on yourself and you focusing on yourself is going to bring you the people that are meant to be in your life, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship. And I feel like friendships are more important than romantic relationships, because those are the people that you trust with for the rest of your life. Like, they're the ones that are there throughout all the failed relationships that you have. The
friendships are
ones.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're worried, genuinely worried, that your best friend is doing something shady or like gonna fuck your man,
or doesn't like you,
talk shit about you, like, I would never. The thing about my relationships with the people who are very close to me, obviously, especially Allie, I would never worry about her doing something terrible to me, which is why we've never fought aggressively. If you feel like your friend is comparing themselves to you or competing with you in any way, they're probably not a friend that you should be having confrontation with in the first place, because your best friends, your truest friends, the people that love you, they're not going to compete with you. They're going to love you, they're going to respect you, and they're going to support you.
And to whoever asked this question, obviously, I don't know the specifics of the situation, but I feel like you should never have to question whether or not you can confront your friend about something that is bothering you. Like, obviously circumstances are different, but like, if it's something about what they're doing or something about how you feel, you know, confrontation is a strong word to use. I feel like you should be able to talk to your friend about anything, whether it is something that they want to hear or not. And I think that's how I'm perceiving the word confrontation. Like, you're talking to them about something that maybe they don't want to hear, or maybe that they'll be
apprehensive. It's not going to make them happy, right? They might have a negative reaction to.
Right.
But you shouldn't be afraid to have a conversation where your friend has a negative reaction.
You shouldn't
reaction.
Have to ask, like, how do I confront my friend? Like, you should just be able to trust that you can tell them whatever you're thinking and whatever you're feeling. Like, with Madison and I, if she's doing some fuck shit, I'm gonna tell you you're doing some fuck shit, and like, vice versa, you know?
Be honest. Be empathetic, be kind, and just state your feelings in the truest way that you can. Don't beat around the bush. If your friend loves you and cares about you, they're going to perceive that in a way that it's you coming from a place of care and comfort, not a place of attacking.
And like I said earlier, and this is the biggest cliche, but it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
So say it kindly, say it empathetically, be patient, be honest, be bad therapy.
And cheers. We will see you guys
next week.